Aren't you glad prayer can change you? Can rearrange your thinking? God doesn't alter the garment to fit the man. He alters the man to fit the garment. Prayer changes things. I want to preach tonight. I'll take a text from James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. We will be preaching principally tonight from the 18th chapter of the first book of Kings. 1 Kings chapter 18 will be our principal chapter. But we will take a text from James chapter 5, verse 17. Now James is right after Hebrews. Hebrews. You know, you're all flipping that Bible around. I was discussing the scriptures here a while back with a man, and he was talking about a scripture located over in Timothy, and he started looking through the Old Testament. And I knew right then he didn't know too much about the Word of God. Another man I was discussing scripture with, he called it the Book of Exodus. And I felt then he didn't know a whole lot about the Word of God. Yeah, well, praise the Lord, we don't mean to make light. I don't mean it that way at all. But you got to study to know anything about God from His Word. Book of James, right after the book of Hebrews. Chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, there's a little thought in that 18th verse that I want to bring out. Simple. He prayed again. How many believe it's time to pray again? Come on now. Do you believe it's time to pray again? Praise God. Raise your hands and ask God to help us all tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. As you have well already thought, my subject tonight will be prayer. The poet said, "If thou shouldest never see my face again, pray for my soul. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Wherefore let thy voice rise like a fountain for me day and night. For what are men better than sheep and goats that nourish a blind life within the brain, if, knowing God, they lift not hands of prayer, both for themselves and those who call them friends? For so the whole round world is every way bound by gold chains about the feet of God." Thank God for prayer. Prayer is a communication. It's a Jacob's ladder. It's an open door. It's an avenue. It's an approach. Prayer is something anybody can use. You don't have to be taught to pray. It's instinctive. It's intuitive. There's something within the soul of every man that yearns to merge with his Maker. You can pray. All you have to do is give vent to your innermost emotions and feelings and pour your heart out to God. It need not be pretty words, descriptive adjectives, flowering nouns. You can communicate with God friend to friend. Use language that you were talking to him just like he was standing right there, because he is. I would like to use the first few scriptures first of all. David said in Psalms 55 and 17, "Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud." Psalm 65 and 2, he repeated, "O thou that hearest prayer." Aren't you glad he hears prayer tonight? "Unto thee shall all flesh come." Jesus said in Matthew 7, 7 and verse 8, "Ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Now you repeated almost the same word in John 16:24 when he said, "Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Remember, Isaiah 12:3 said, "Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." And Romans 14:17 said, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." Now there's no need you walking around every day with no joy. "Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." John 14:14 again. And remember, Jesus, the one who prayed in the garden as a man, answers prayer as God. John 14:14, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Paul and Silas at midnight in Acts 16:29 or 25, pray. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Prayer is in order anytime. In fact, Romans 8:26 tells us, "Likewise the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmity." You don't pray out of a prayer book and get a hold of God. You don't recite by rote or by memorized cliches and worn out phraseology. Your diction or vernacular may not be so precise, but let me tell you something. It's from the heart, and the Holy Ghost can help you pray. The Holy Ghost can help you pray. "Likewise, the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmity. But we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." 1 Corinthians 15:14, Paul said, what is it then? "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding." The Holy Ghost will help you pray like you ought to pray. In Colossians 4:2, Paul said, "Continue in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Philippians 4:6, again we are reminded, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Too many people praying about making a momentous decision, or like the man and wife thought about moving to another town. And the husband tells the wife, "Honey, you pack while I go upstairs and pray." We have our minds pre-made up. We have preconceived ideas, preconceived notions of how God should work problems out. And we pray in the proper channels accordingly. We should pray with an open mind. Let's let God work like he wants to work in the channel he wants to work in. Praise be to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 said, "Pray without ceasing." Hebrews 4:16 said, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." I'm not intimidating or ridiculing or criticizing anybody here, but I've already detected some of you are too timid. You've got too much spiritual wallflower-itis. You're too spiritually bashful. You're too spiritually backward. You're afraid to walk right in. Let me tell you something. Ever since Jesus died on the cross and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst and that Holy of Holies was opened, you can come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and obtain grace to help in time of need. If you're sorrowful, Jesus is concerned. If you're hungry, if you're discouraged, if you're in the valley, if you've got perplexing, puzzling problems of modern life, Jesus is concerned. Come boldly to the throne of grace. He don't want you stumbling and fumbling and fumbling around in life, not knowing the way to go or what to do. There's an answer in prayer. Prayer can change things. Hallelujah! James 5:16 said, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Verse 20 of Jude said, "But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Oh, that's one of my favorite phrases in the entire Bible. Just like a man builds his muscles up by continually exercising, proper diet, proper rest, etc., you can flex your spiritual muscles tonight. There's enough of faith resident here tonight, enough of people that know the worth of prayer, that have had prayers answered in yesteryears, that we know what God can do. We can have revival. We can unlock the windows of heaven, and God will pour out a blessing in this town like it's never seen before. It can happen. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Just like shifting gears in a car. You know when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. I know myself. I get down to pray, my mind's on this problem, that unpaid bill, that mile I got to travel, that door I need to go knock on, and that thing I need to do, whatever. And your mind's on other things too. The grass that needs to be cut, and the bread that needs to be baked, and the clothes that needs to be ironed, and the diaper that needs to be changed. It's a coming. Amen. Yes, sir, I'm going to be there. Yes, sir. And your mind's on all these other things, and you can't pray. Don't sit there and look at me there, that you pray every time you get down to pray. I know better. I get down to pray and I can't hardly get my mind on God. But I know after a while, if I persist and I hang in there, the Holy Ghost helps me pray. And I know when I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Brother, there's nothing like Holy Ghost praying. Brother, the hours whiz by. Let me tell you, there's nothing like Holy Ghost singing. We need to be saturated, infatuated, enthralled, enraptured, thrilled. Oh, my God. We need the Holy Ghost just to breath, anoint, unctionize, energize. We need it tonight. We need it. We need it. We need it. Hallelujah. I got to hurry. I love to see people pray. God answers prayer. We serve a prayer-answering God. How many believe that? Now I've got an example for you tonight. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. He was not a superhuman being. He was not something extraterrestrial, something that didn't have to eat and sleep and drink and walk and talk and go to do the normal functions every day human life calls for, and worry and pain and torment and torture and all kinds of loads of strain and stress came on. No, he was normal. He was normal, just like we are tonight, a man of like passions. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. One man's prayer took away the key to heaven that gave rain. One man's prayer locked up the vault. One man's prayer made the heavens as brass. One man's prayer made the sun shine unmercifully for 3 years and almost 6 months. Prayer can do something. I say, God, give America a revival. Oh, we're living in a land of many, plenty, the breadbasket of the world. I love my country. I pray for its leaders. But, oh, God, we need revival. And you know what we need? You know what we need? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and what? Pray. Will what? Pray. Will what? Pray. I don't think it's disgracing or distracting. I don't think it's belittling to any political figure anywhere in the world to bow his head and pray to the high God of heaven. I think everybody ought to do it. Amen. Be he lawyer, be he doctor, be he merchant man, be he Indian chief, be he millionaire, be he pauper. It's time America prayed. It's time America's churches prayed. It's time young people prayed. There's more to this than supercharge of emotionalism. There's more to this than the giddiness of singing a song. There's more to it. There's a prayer life, a dedicated prayer life. Amen. I do not set myself up as an example, but I feel like a dirty, filthy, mangy dog if I don't pray an hour over every sermon I preach. And I'm not saying I do it every time. I feel terrible when I don't. Because there's power in the closet of prayer. There's power in the closet of prayer. God can anoint you beyond your ability. God can give you strength to do superhuman things for the cause of Jesus Christ. Oh God, hallelujah! How many's ever had any kind of a prayer of any kind of sort you prayed that God answered? Raise your hand and wave it. Let's thank Him for it right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! Well, James 5:18 said of Elijah, and he prayed again. We can't live on yesterday's victories. We've got to pray again. Folks, it's time to pray again. If ever there was a time when the church needs to know the worth of prayer, it's now. Brother, we need to pray to pry open the windows. We need to pray for a visitation on the altar, on the songs, on the preaching, on the teaching, etc. Oh, it's time to pray again. It's no time to rest on our laurels and lean back on past accomplishments. It's no time to have a backward glance. We need to pray, 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 pray. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. Well, Elijah prayed again. Let me go with you now to the story. Chapter 17 of 1 Kings I introduced first. Then we'll go to Kings 18 of 1 Kings. Chapter 17, verse 1 of 1 Kings, I introduce to you the character. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Elijah made the startling announcement to Ahab, the vile egotistical toad that squatted upon the throne of Israel. And he told that king, that idolatrous worshiping king with an idolatrous practicing wife named Jezebel. He looked at him and said, it's not going to rain. There'll be no dew for 3.5 years, but according to my word. Picks his mantle, throws it over his shoulder, and his polished staff walks away into the wilderness, and the heavens clank together with a bang. It went on and on. Elijah was fed with bird's fare and with widow's fare, but God took care of him. For 3.5 years, it didn't rain a drop. The corn sweltered. The rivers ran dry. People began to die. Drought began to stalk the land. Oh, my brother, the sickles hung motionless on the pegs on the granary, and they rusted away. Oh, my. People began to wonder, what are we going to do? Calamity on every hand. 3.5 years later, I introduce to you now the same Elijah. Chapter 18 of 1 Kings, verse 1. The Bible said, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Elijah came out of hiding, but oh, what he saw was not pleasant to the eyes. The Bible said, so Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria, a severe famine. Have you ever known the pangs of hunger? Most of us could do well to lose a little weight. We've never known too much of want. Oh, there might have been a few times in our past years we skipped a meal or two, but has stark starvation ever stalked our door? Have we ever looked ghastly death into the face? Have we shriveled away to nothing only but skin and bones? Has our eyeballs wandered around like marbles in its sockets? Has our heart ran away with the cells? Has our tongue lollygagged itself out for want of water? No, no. We maybe don't really know the meaning of drought, the meaning of severe famine. And you look in America, a land of plenty, but I cast not a reflective eye upon the natural tonight. I say there is a famine. There's a famine in America. There's a famine in America. It's ravaging the doctors and the lawyers. It's ravaging the politicians and the teachers, the poor and the rich alike. You want me to tell you what it is? Amos 8 verse 11 tells me, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There's a famine in America today. Don't preach to us anymore. Let the choir sing, march across the special singers, entertain us with spiritual acrobatics and magician tricks to palliate our minds and activate our spirits with the
things of the flesh. There's a famine. Churches don't want to hear the Word of God. Deacon boards, elder boards, trustee boards are hiring and firing preachers because they don't want to hear the Word of the Lord. If there ever was a time when God's men ought to stand up and preachingly and preach the unadulterated Word of God, the pure, the holy Word of God, it's now. There's a famine. 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 This church house ought to be tucked out tonight. Not because of me. I am nothing. Just an infinite speck of a grain of sand on a beach. That's all of eternity. I'm nothing tonight. But everybody that ought to be here should be here hearing the Word of the Lord. If it's a preacher with a pair of bib overalls and a blue denim shirt and clodhoppers, if he says, "Thus saith the Lord," and it's in the book, we ought to say, "Amen to it." If he's got a tuxedo on and a high hat and a polished cane and driving a Rolls Royce and it's still the Word of God, we still ought to say amen to it. It's time we heard the Word of the Lord. Amen. Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. There was a sore famine in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, "Go into the land, unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts." So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. And it came to pass, as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. Oh, I can see it now. This man that feared God in Ahab's house by the name of Obadiah was hunting through the countryside for the rivulets of water. And lo, a looming shadow fell across his pathway. Oh, he looked, and who was it? It was the man called Elijah, the hoary, hairy prophet of God. Woo! My God, if there ever was a time, we need some prophets, some old-time preaching of the Word of God. It's now. And it came to pass as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, "Art thou that my Lord Elijah?" And he answered him, "I am. Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here." Woo! My God! That's like calling out the Army, Navy, and Air Force. My God! That's like calling all the battlements of glory on your side. That's like calling fire down out of heaven. Go tell your Lord. Go tell your King. Go tell Ahab, Elijah's here. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! My God, we ought to thank God when our pastors preach us the Word of God. We ought to thank God when they fearlessly stand for the truth. We ought to thank God that they are here. What would you do without a pastor? What would you do without a shepherd of your soul? What would you do without a watchman of your life that could preach against the inroads and encroaches of sin, that could warn you of your wounded conscience, that could warn you to quit going astray? Thank God for the Elijahs. Thank God for the Elijahs. Thank God for the Elijahs. Oh, I know maybe you may think I'm a little bit on the side of one or the other that shouldn't be. And I'm not against choir leaders. I'm not against orchestra leaders. I'm not against education in the church. I'm not against recreational facilities to help our youth. But I say what we need sorely, need indeed, is more Elijahs. It's more Elijahs. It's more Elijahs. And he said, "What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee." And when they said, "He is not here," he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou saidst, "Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I go and tell Ahab and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me." I'd like to just pause right here. You see, Ahab touched the sensitive point of Elijah's character.
Everybody wants to take a preacher and remold him into some sort of dum-dum, or make him a parrot, or make him another paper doll, or make him an exact replica copy like the cars coming down the assembly line. Everybody alike, you know, do the same thing. I say there's room for individuality. I say there's room for colorful personalities, as long as it's within the scope and confines of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And Obadiah will say something about Elijah. I know you, Elijah. I know you. I know a lot about you. I know just as sure as I go tell Ahab, you're right here, right where you're at. As soon as I get my back, the Spirit of the Lord will come down, and you'll get happy, and He'll carry you away, whether I know not. I like the unpredictableness of the Holy Ghost services. I don't like to get in a rut. A rut is defined as a grave with both ends open. I wouldn't want to go to a church that had its services copied out on a machine. Amen. Much like the preacher had his sermon all typed out. And my, he was enthusiastic. And someone happened to overlook it. And down on about point number 7, it had in the parentheses, shout. Oh, yes. Brother, what advantage did God have there? We've got to give room. We got to give room for divine intervention. We got to give room for God to take over. Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I'm not playing. I'm not playing. Brother, I don't feel like preaching tonight, but I'm going to preach anyhow. I'm not playing with you. I'm not toying with your emotions. No, sir. I ain't about to dance 3 purple angels on the top of a pen either just to give you company tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going to call fire down from heaven just for your particular enjoyment, a ringside seat at a spiritual Barnum and Bailey circus. That isn't what this is. This is not a circus atmosphere. We're not in here just to hoop and holler a lot of things. We're here in serious business. We need a rain. 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 There's a drought out there. There's a famine out there. We need a rain. We need a rain. Well, what Obadiah was saying shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. That I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? How I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? Didn't he tell you what good works I did, Elijah? And now thou sayest, behold, go tell thy Lord that Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. You're sending me on a suicide mission, Elijah. You won't be there with the good when I go tell. You'll back up on me. You'll run out. You just won't be there. You know what Elijah said? Brother, let me tell you, God's prophets have got fat bones like saw logs, hides like rhinoceroses, and they're going to stand, hallelujah, by the grace and help of the living God. I don't believe you hire and fire God's preachers. You may disagree with me, but that's what I believe, and I've preached this for years and years. You didn't hire me, and you can't fire me. Praise God, and if you don't want me, I'll just mount the chariot of fire and be on my way. Praise be to God. That's right. So Obadiah was saying, will you be here when I go get Ahab for this big confrontation, for this big showdown, for this shootout at high noon at the OK Corral? Will you be there? Will you not run off? Are you just speaking loud and carrying a little old tail wig? Or are you speaking softly and carrying a big stick? Just what is it, Elijah? And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto Ahab today. Woo! Yes, sir! Maybe you don't know too much about the compound titles of Jehovah God, of Hebrew Yahweh God. One of his compound titles is Jehovah Sabaoth, which means Lord of hosts, which means he's the Lord, the connoisseur, the captain, the leader of all the angelic hosts of heaven, be they cherubim, seraphim, or angels with flaming swords, that he is their guide and captain, leader, and what Elijah was saying, as the Lord of hosts liveth, the God of the armies of heaven, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto Ahab today. I'm not going to run off. I'm not going to play hooky. I'm not going to yell a streak a mile wide down my back. I'm going to see it through. God commissioned me to do His will, and I'm going to do it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. Ahab went to meet Elijah. Here he comes now. Ahab mounts his kingly steed, pounds his way down the forest path with his entourage, the glitter and glamour of a monarch, winging its way down the plains of Jezreel, and a lonely, solitary figure of a prophet of a man with a mantle on it and a polished staff stood and waited on him. That's right. Amen. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, I can see it now. We say it in modern vernacular. The car screeched to a halt, slid, you know, to a stop, gravel went every which way, and a guy jumped out and banged, shut the door, and come marching in really to come to business. Well, in Elijah's day, the horse comes running down the path, skidded to a halt, up jumped Ahab, and the Bible said, and said unto him, art thou he that troubled Israel? Brother, not just like the devil, you psychology right off the bat. Take the initiative. Ahab, that vile, egotistical toad that squatted upon the throne of Israel. Ahab, that idolatrous practicing king that wrought more evil in the sight of God than anyone previously. Ahab, that flimsy excuse for a man. Ahab, that let his wife tell him what to do. Ahab, that was nothing but a little puppet on a string manipulated by Jezebel. Ahab, that didn't have enough gumption hardly to get out of bed in the morning. Ahab, that pouted like a big baby when he couldn't get a vineyard next door to his palace when he owned hundreds of acres of vineyards. Ahab, that no good, no count scoundrel, he jumps down and looks the wonderful man of God, that holy, virtuous, kind, benevolent, good man, looks at him in the eye and says, art thou he that troubleth Israel? You're the reason we got no rain around here. You're the reason the babies are dying. The crops are withering away. The streams are running dry. You're the reason why. You're the reason the scythes are rusting on the pegs on the granaries. You're the reason why old men are crying for thirst. You're the reason. And he answered. Now we're talking back to Elijah now. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Brother, there's a man of God for you. He wasn't going to take no lip, but he just shot it right back. We've got too many hunkered down, whipped puppies walking around, you know. If you don't mind, give me another crumb from the trustee board, or give me another crumb from the deacon board. Sometimes some trustees and deacon leads will be taken off the board used on them. And I'm preaching from my heart. There's nothing personal involved in this. If you follow me around for a while, you know I preach like it everywhere I go. Amen. That's the God of heaven truth. You don't want a little whimpering puppy of a preacher that's afraid to look sin in the face and denounce it. We need some Elijahs. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen. All right. Elijah looked at Ahab and said, I have not troubled Israel, but found thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. Amen. And the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the grove, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Those flimsy excuses of preachers that dote on an idolatrous practicing queen to get to eat at her table and to fare sumptuously and live good have compromised religious principles and are worshiping Baal, the God of fire, the idolatrous God that can't do a thing. I'm going to challenge every last one of them. Amen. I don't know, but maybe Obadiah was somewhere in the wings saying, throw it. Stick them. Get them. Hallelujah. Everybody said amen. All right, now let's go on to this little story. So, Elijah tells Ahab, gather together me all Israel on the Mount Carmel, prophets of Baal, 450, prophets of the grove, 400, which cheated Jezebel. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Here they come, from the east to west. Here they come, marching around. Everybody gets to hear about it. There's going to be a confrontation on Mount Carmel. Showdown.
Elijah finally showed himself.
He has? You mean he didn't run off? No. He's going to be on Mount Carmel. Oh, my, there's going to be a showdown, a confrontation. Come on. We're going to run a confidence, folks. Let's go. Come on, everybody. Here they come. The prophets of Baal, 450. Prophets of the groves, 400. Here comes Ahab on his kingly steed. I can see the tent pitched now on Mount Carmel. What a beautiful tent. The king's staff in the ground signifying at this instant his flag that he was at residence, and all the flaming beautiful colors of pageantry and of kingly showmanship that always surrounds a king was there. Oh, for sure! I'm not afraid to put my God to the test. I'm not afraid to put him to the test.
Hallelujah!
So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and got the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Here they come. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, I can see him now, he walks up to them and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Brother, Elijah threw the gauntlet down. Elijah threw the line in the dirt. Elijah laid the chip on the shoulder. Elijah put the bony finger in the eyeball. Elijah planted the foot, stiffened the back, and squared the shoulders. Halt ye between two of them. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Let me tell you, a cold drink's refreshing, a hot drink stimulates, but a lukewarm drink is downright nauseating. The character of God demands that you either be cold or hot. And if you're lukewarm, he'll spew you out of his mouth. God demands us to be one or the other. Jesus said, Matthew 12:30, he that's not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. There's no neutrality with God. Quit your theological fence, straddler. Quit plowing both sides of the field. Quit currying favor from all ends of the theological and political spectrum. My God, be a man. Be a woman. Quit halting between two opinions. Quit telling me you're a Holy Ghost, Jesus' name, apostolic, tongue-talking, New Testament believing in miracles and wonders and signs, and then play around at the shrines of the Trinity and offer obeisance to the heathen gods of materialism and worshiping false personalities and doing things just for money and for gain and for fancy clothes and a good car and a cozy living. I'm telling you, it's time. You laid out those gods that are wrong. How long halt ye between two of them? God wants us to be one or the other. I'm going to preach, brother. I don't care. I'm going to preach. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon generally translated to mean money. It could mean material possessions or something of accumulation of material wealth. You can't serve God and mammon. You've got to make your mind up not to compromise religious principles to be a Holy Ghost Christian. You can't steal turn speedometer cables back and do wrong to your neighbor and beat anybody, whether he's white, black, yellow, green, purple, out of a dime and call yourself a Christian. You can't do it. You gotta be holy on both sides of the fence. You gotta be righteous on Sunday morning, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You gotta deal square and honest and fair every day of the week. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Where's that shouting at now? Hallelujah. You ought to be out hooping it up in the aisle. This is good preaching. Don't sell your integrity for the thrill of a moment. Don't sell your honesty for the applause of a fickle crowd. Don't sell out your virtue just to be called somebody popular. Stand up! Don't halt between two opinions. Hallelujah! If you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian. At school, at work, at play, when you fish, when you hunt, when you buy, when you sell, when you run, when you walk, anywhere you go. Hallelujah! Amen. Hallelujah! 2 Corinthians 6:14.
through verse 1 of 7th chapter, 2 Corinthians. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I don't want to stop preaching. I have a bit of this. I believe in freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, but any organization, secret or open, that plots the overthrow of the Word of God and is against God, His Word, you got no business hanging around. Now, I'm not preaching against any particular thing. Now, I'm not saying if you're in a union, you got the mark of the beast. None of that business. I'm not making no statement like that. But I am telling you, my brother, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If you're so yoked up arm in arm with a fisher somewhere you work, or even in a union you belong to, that it takes time from your prayer life and time from your Bible reading and time from your church attendance to the point that you are not really what you ought to be, you need to get rid of something. You better jettison something. You better cut out something, and it better not be God, His Word. You are first and foremost a Christian, an apostolic, Holy Ghost, God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian. Preach it, preacher! Hallelujah! Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You folks ain't never heard me yet. We tiptoed through the stars and hung our coattails way up yonder. Brother, we can get down where the grubworms live. Hallelujah. We can elbow one another in the ribs and find out just how much we can take. We can just see how low our boiling point is. Come on now. We can get those skeletons out of the closet. Don't you ever tell me the Holy Ghost don't know our hearts. It knows the secrets of our hearts. Hallelujah. It's time we quit playing church. Quit halting between two opinions. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Oh, don't forget it, did he? 2 Corinthians 6:14. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion is light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness, from all filthiness, from all filthiness, from all filthiness, of the flesh, of the flesh, of the flesh, and of the spirit, and of the spirit, and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I believe it's unscriptural to smoke. I believe it's unscriptural to commit fornication and adultery and run around to your neighbor's wife or husband. Church wrong! To curse and swear and read pornography. Church wrong! To do all the ungodly things, chewing tobacco, taking snuff. Church wrong! To go to a dance hall floor. If you're so good, why don't you dance with your sister? Oh, yeah! Why don't you do that? Yes, sir! But listen, there's more to this than filthiness of the flesh. If you've got a dirty, mean, old, gossiping spirit, you've got bitterness in your heart. Come on, preacher, 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 preacher. And you got a spirit that likes to tell tales and spread maliciousness, and you're filthy on the inside. That's just as wrong can be. There's more to holiness than long sleeves and long dresses and nylon hose and uncut hair on women and cut on men, that is, off of the ears and off the collars and out of the eyes. Hallelujah. And some of you ought to go visit a barber. Hallelujah. But there's more to it. That is, the men, not the women. God help you women to cut your hair. You ought to take yourself out of the choir. You ought to come up to your pastor and say, I'm not fit to teach you. You ought to put some discipline yourself. Amen, amen, amen. Yes, there's your glory. Hallelujah. Where's that shouting at? Holy to God. Hallelujah. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. How long halt ye between two opinions? You wishy-washy, inconsistent individual, double-minded, double-tongued, neither in, neither out, cluttering up and encumbering the entrance, a bag of excess baggage weighing the church of the living God down, stifling the program, hindering the progress. You're no good the way you are. Why do you halt between two opinions? On Sunday you love God, and Monday through Saturday you chase the gods of materialism. No time to pray all week, and Sunday come out here sobbing and crying because you can't get a healing touch and God won't bless you. This is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job living for God. Praise the Lord. I say it's time, and I could say this with a literal understanding in last night's service. I say it's time to get in or get out or get run over. Amen. You that was here last night know what I'm talking about, don't you? Brother, someone says, well, I don't think we ought to have so much emotionalism. I've told this story so many times, I'm going to tell it again because I love it. I kind of feel like the man out West Texas they caught for stealing a horse. You probably heard me tell, but I like to tell it, I'm going to tell it again. Back in those days, they hung him for stealing horses, and they put him a noose around his neck, threw it over the bough of the tree, strapped him on the back of the horse, hand behind his neck, behind his back, and just before they strapped the flanks of the horse running out from under him, one of them said, hey, cowboy, got anything to say? Any last words? He said, I sure do. Let her rip. Neck behind his back, and just before they strapped the flanks of the horse running out from under him, one of them said, hey, cowboy, got anything to say? Any last words? He said, I sure do. Let her rip. I'm not afraid of the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. The real Holy Ghost. Let her rip. Let her rip. Let her rip. Let me tell you something. You can chin yourself on those fans. You can swing on these chains. You can walk across the top of this ceiling, tiptoe the back of these benches, and do a 100-yard dash in 7.9 seconds flat, break the world record in this church house. And they can hang a plaque on the wall with your name on it. You'll hold the record in this church for running. But when you hit the ground, you run straight. You live right. You treat your neighbor right. Pentecost has suffered too many black eyes from people that shouted in the church and lived like the devil on the outside. Amen! 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 Hallelujah! I wasn't told to preach a thing. Don't you go telling me. But it's an insult to my intelligence. Someone would think I could be bought. My God, I'd hang my fellowship card up. Hallelujah. Oh, brother, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, let's get back. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. Okay, Elijah, he looks at Ahab, and he looks at the children of Israel. He looks at their depleted spiritual resources, their bankrupt morals, their compromising character. They are having no prayer life. And he looked at them and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks. Let them choose 1 bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, what? It is well spoken. Amen. In other words, let's have a showdown. Some people think, well, I'm afraid to stack this up against worldlyism, materialism, intellectualism, the philosophical minds of great men of past and present. I don't know. I sort of slink back. In my lear, I don't know really whether we can stand the blazing spotlight of publicity. Can we stand in the square in the courthouse market. Can we stand the gaze of public opinion? Will this stand the acid test in the final analysis under the microscopic scrutiny? Will it stand? Will it? Here stood a man that had so much faith in his God, that believed so much in the experience in his God. He said, I'll put it to the test. We'll each put a bullock on the altar, no fire. And let the God that answered by fire, we're going to let him be God. Oh, I would to God today, modern Christendom, modern theological juggernauts that are huffing and puffing against the onslaught of modern immorality, that stand like unskilled surgeon in need of expertise in operation time, that stand as fumbling, bumbling mechanics that have not the remedy for the ill of the hour. I would that God they would say with honesty, what we need is a God that will answer by fire. Is a God that will answer by fire. Enough of this handshake. Name in a church register, a pat on your back, a power of positive thinking, or intellectualize your mentality, or pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, in other words, and do the best you can. For after all, you're a stumble in upward progress. And after all, well, you're goodness in the making. Well, after all, you've got a nest of rattlesnakes in your bosom, but you expect it to come out the chorus of nightingales. And after all, you know that it's going to come out in the end okay. Just do the best you can. Stumble all along in the dark with no answer and no remedy and no cure. That's what modern theology tells the world today. But I'm here to tell you, there's a God that answers by fire. There's a God that answers by fire. There's a God that answers by fire. I'm not afraid to put this Holy Ghost experience up against any psychological phenomenon, any sort of psychiatric treaty, and I'm not blazing against doctors that do the best they can. That's not my point. But this Holy Ghost can untangle domestic quarrels. I'm going to slow down now. This Holy Ghost can take the wine bottle out of your hand. The Holy Ghost can take pornography out of your hand, bitterness out of your heart. It can make you love your husband and love your wife. The Holy Ghost will make you a lover of good things, treat your children right, and give you respect in the eyes of your community, and it can go on and on. What you need is a baptism of the Holy Ghost like the apostles had. Hallelujah! Well, all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. Let's keep it honest. If we're going to test, let's test it with both hands on the table. Let's do it right. But put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, oh, Baal, kill us. Oh, Baal, kill us. Baal, kill us. This is all unrehearsed. My God in heaven knows it is. Every now and then I like to cast restraint to the winds. I like to choose words, as you probably know by now. But every now and then I like to just throw it straight to the wind, just come out preaching. Hallelujah. Kill us, Baal! Kill us. But there was no voice, neither any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar, which was Baal. You remember throwing tantrums and using them? I threw them. Get your hand in the air. You did too. But that's what these priests of Baal were doing. They got no answer. So they leaped upon the altar that was Baal. Jumped up and Come on. Fail, fail, fail. Fail.
We're going to see who's God here. We're going to find out something. Get the veneer off of here. Strip away the outer shell. Let's get down to the heart of the matter. And they leaped upon the altar, which was made. It came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked him. Brother, you better know what you're doing when you're mocking somebody, did you? People will fight over their religion, won't they? People will go to battle over religion. A lot of blood's been shed in the name of a holy war. From Constantine that thought he saw the sign of the cross to go conquering the power of the cross. He was just a cunning politician. That's all that clodhopper was. That's right. Merging church and state. God never did intend for the church and state to be merged. I know why I'm going to say this, but I'm going to run it through again. I mean, you got to vote right to vote the way you want to vote and for who you want to vote. Keep politics out of the church. But we should pray for those in authority. No matter who they are, if they even don't go to church, we need to pray for them that God will give them wisdom. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, come up! Come up! For he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awake. Ooh. Ooh, ooh. I can see it now. Them prophets of Baal crying, oh Baal, hear it. Jumping up and down. Here is old Baal. Then I come to Elijah. Come up, come up, come up. Maybe he's just taking a nap. Maybe he's on a vacation. Maybe he's just in a journey. You can read the living word for what he pursueth means. It's hilarious. But maybe he's doing a lot of things. He mocked them. He mocked them. I mean this in the fear of God. The Buddhists can say, money, pani, money, pani, money, pani. Those are soft syllables. Speaking what they call nirvana, state of passionless peace. You can say it till you're blue in the face. You can say it till you melt down into the dust. You're not going to get one blessing. You may increase your mentality and your syllable speaking, but that's it. Your hair, Krishna, hair, Krishna, hair, Krishna, hair, Krishna, hair, hair, hair. That ain't going to get you anywhere. Now, I know this is going to get tough before it gets over. But Hail Mary, full of grace, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Jesus will get you nowhere either. Mary cannot answer prayer. She had to receive the Holy Ghost just like Peter, Matthew, Mark, Andrew, Luke, Bartholomew, all the apostles and the early church received it. It'll receive no benefit for your life. You can chant the rosary from here on in. That man-made theology, a substitution for the real thing. There's a God that answers my prayer around here. You don't need an intermediary. You don't need a priest. You don't need a man. You don't need an intermediary. You don't need a priest. You don't need a man. You don't need a woman. You don't need your mama, your father, your brother, sister. You can go to God for yourself today. Brother, he mocked them. Hello. but he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. You've heard of them walking on nails, sleeping on nails. You've heard of people cutting themselves, letting themselves bleed, crawling on their knees for miles. That's right, on and on the story goes. That's what these priests of Baal were doing, cutting themselves with knives and lancets, thinking that was going to hasten up, answer a prayer. There was no Baal. There is no Baal. He can't be found. There isn't but one true living God. He's a spirit. His name is Jesus. And he's in the world today. And it came to pass, and midday was passed, and they prophesied at the time the offering of evening sacrifice that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Neither any, nor any, nor any. That's the way it's going to be till you pray to Jesus, too. You just as well pray to this microphone and pray anybody else but Jesus. You just as well kneel to this altar or this pulpit here as to kneel to anything else but Jesus. There's not but one that's going to help you. You better pray to him. His name is Jesus. He's here tonight. If you're lost, he can find you. If you're sick, he can heal you. Why don't you be baptized in his name like Paul was, Peter was, Matthew was, Mark was, Andrew was, Philip was. The early church baptized in Jesus' name. That's the name of our God. No one was ever baptized in the New Testament church in the title Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They are but three titles. You come back Friday night, I'll give you 1,150 titles. Every one of them with a scripture. He's a God that's called Advocate, Alpha and Omega, Amen, Angel, Ancient of Days, Anointed Apostle, Apple Tree, Arm of the Lord, Author and Finisher of our faith, Author the Term of Salvation, Avenger, Baalite, Babe, Stand upon the High Mountain, Baptize the Holy Ghost in you with fire, Gospel to the Seas, Captain of our Salvation, Captain of the Lord's Host. I ain't even going to go on any further. I could go on and on. 1,150. There's titles. Just like Father. Just like Son. Just like Holy Ghost. I'm a Father. I'm a Son. I am a husband. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a preacher. But that's not my name. That's not my name. Jesus is the God of this world. Amen. I'm not taking no cheap shots. I'm preaching what God laid on my heart. Well, there was none to answer, nor any to regard. And the Bible said, all said and done, they didn't get their prayer answered. I believe we'll never get our prayer answered till we pray to the right one. I don't believe anything else answers prayer in a positive fashion but God Almighty. Isaac called all the people under him. See what happened. He fetched them to him, as we would say. Elijah said unto them, come here. And all the people came in. All of them, they ganged around. The Bible says, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. God only knows we've got to have an altar in our churches. God help the church to take the altar out of it. Thank God for the mourner's bench. Thank God for an altar where I found God. But you need an altar at home. You need one in your heart. You need one everywhere you go. And the reason we don't have revival, I'm going to lay it on you. And the reason we don't have the visitation that we need and the operation of the gifts of the Spirit that we ought to have, as outlined in 1 Corinthians 14, is because there's too many altars that are broken down tonight. I say it's time to repair the altar. Repair your altar tonight. Personal, private devotion to God, there's no substitute for it. Community worship, communion is fabulous. Coming together is wonderful. But you've got to get alone with God for yourself.
Let's praise him together.
Glory, glory.
Hallelujah. All right. So Elijah said to the people, come near unto me. And all the people came unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones, oh God, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. I won't digress anymore. Time's getting away. I could take the name of each tribe of Israel, and there's a meaning to it. And I can link it with some scripture to show you how to accurately and adequately and scripturally rebuild your altar. You don't just throw out any flimsy altar. Too many of you treat God like you do your husband or your wife. You throw it on the table and say, take it or leave it. Brother, God don't have to accept anything you throw at him. It's got to be done right. It's got to be done right. It's got to be done right. With the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. Hallelujah. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. Look at this now. For such audacity, such unmitigated gall, such boldness, such plain of plan of attack, Elijah has them get 12 barrels of water and pour it on the sacrifice, on the wood, and it comes and flows to the ground, and he even fills up the trench around the altar. Water and fire are antagonistic. They're 2 elements diametrically opposite. They don't get along together. But let me tell you, God can cause fire and water to get along. I think I'm going to preach on it a while. I believe God can take opposites, can take extremes, can take diverse personalities, can take people that are cantankerous on one end of the spectrum and meek as a lamb on the other and make them get along in the house of the living God. Hallelujah! I can see the prophets of Baal standing off on the sideline, mopping their bloody brows, blood oozing from the wounds in their hands and feet and legs and the belly and sides. And they were moaning and groaning and hurting on the inside and hurting on the outside. And their pride was hurt and their religion was hurt and their cause was hurt. And they were flabbergasted and dumbfounded and just didn't know what to think. And up walked Elijah all by himself, a one-man gang, a one-man revival. He walked up and says, now build this altar right. We're going to tear down and start right from the scratch, right from the bottom, and we're going to do it right. We're not going to build on these Balaamite altars. We're not going to build on their altar. We're going to start right in the name of the Lord. I believe everything starts in the name of the Lord. I believe Christianity starts in the name of the Lord. I believe that Christianity starts in the name of the Lord. That's where I took his name, in water baptism. Hallelujah! They poured water. It ran down, filled up the trench round about the altar. People were crowding in close. Off on the side stands Ahab with a special view. What's going to happen now? Is this fellow pulling a previous prelude to Houdini? What is he going to pull out of his hat next? I don't see no fire smoking out of his back pocket. This fellow can't do nothing. He's got water on that sacrifice. Brother, he better produce the goods or get himself out of here. But there wasn't a nervous step in his stride. There wasn't an undercurrent of restlessness in his voice. With a strong, steady command of a man that knew his subject, he gives the command. They pour the water, the trench is filled, and everybody goes into dead silence. It was evening time now. It was a time way over on the Judean hills. Over in Jerusalem, they were offering the evening oblation or sacrifice. Oh, what a time God chose about the time of that offering. You see, for the Bible said it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near. Wow! Hallelujah! Everybody stood back. Everybody stood back because you see, they didn't have the goods. They were backslid in their heart. They had no unction, no anointing, no favor with God. They couldn't pray a prayer to move anything. They were lazy in their soul.
prophet here walks a man that had a hold of heaven. Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done these things according to thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Just a direct like the Balaamites were doing. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Oh, hallelujah. Just a simple little prayer. Just a simple little prayer. Not a marathon, long-winded prayer. Not a long-distance prayer. Just a simple little prayer. Let me tell you now. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. That this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. The Bible said, the Bible said, the Bible said, the Bible said, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! How many like for the fire to fall? Then let's get some sacrifices on the altar. Let's quit praying to heathen gods that can't hear, with dumb ears, dumb tongues, and gods of stone and wood that can't do a thing. Let's pray to the God that's got the answer. Hallelujah! I like to run that through again because I love that verse. Oh, I can see it now. Just a short little prayer. And he looked up and prayed it, and then he stepped back. For the Bible said, then the fire, watch out now, watch out. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust. And it licked up the water. It licked up the water. It licked up the water that was in the trench. Hallelujah! 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 Glory! I'd like to see the same fireball tonight. I'd like to see it consume the sacrifice. I'd like to see it consume the altar, the wood, the dust, and lick up the water that's in the trench. I'd like to see the same tongues of fire that fell on the day of Pentecost. Send the fire, Lord! Send the fire! Send the fire! Send the fire!
What a sight! What a prophet! What a fire! What a God! Hallelujah! I'm glad I served the Lord God of Elijah, aren't you? And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God." Isn't that just like people? 10 minutes before, they were crying on Baal. But when they saw a demonstration of what God really is, though they should have known it, they turned and gave themselves to the real God. I give them credit for that. Brother, how can you sit in the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost and deny it? How can you sit under the anointed ministry of His Word and deny it? How can you sit under unctionized songs by the Spirit and deny it? I say it's time. I say it's time we all bow down and said, "The Lord, He is the God. The 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 Lord, He is the God." Hallelujah! And Elijah said unto them, "Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape." And they took them.
And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. 450 prophets of Baal. Same Elijah, with tender mercy, stayed and ministered to a widow in the wilderness. Was a tough man of steel when it come to idolatry. Christianity and idolatry cannot mix. God and the devil don't get along. Spirituality and worldliness do not go together. Holy Ghost and denying miracles don't stand together, my brother. If you're going to believe in a miracle, God, believe in his miracles. Hallelujah. And he slew them there. A showdown. Maybe that's what we need. I am not trying to be presumptuous or walk with the bigoted step of a know-it-all. Please believe me. But I've got so much confidence in his Holy Ghost, in the one God that the Bible teaches whose name is Jesus, and in the name of Jesus Christ in water baptism and the Holy Ghost experience speaking in other tongues and miracles and signs and wonders in today's Christian church or apostolic church, that I wouldn't be afraid to preach it anywhere and defend it in anybody's presence, because I serve a God that answers by fire. Hallelujah! 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 It's time for a showdown! I love you! I appreciate your opinion! But brothers, you're not a one-talk, Jesus-name, tongue-talking, Holy Ghost man or woman! You haven't got what the Bible said you can have!
All right, everybody said amen. All right. Say it again.
You believe we serve the same God today? Do you, Brother Smith, believe we serve the same God today? Jump up and say, praise the Lord, three times.
In Jesus. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Blessing, blessing, blessing. Hallelujah. 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 How many are glad, Lord, you prayed again? How many believe it's time you prayed again? Let's pray for some fire. Come on now, folks. Pray for some fire! Hallelujah! 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 Send up fire!
All right. Kishon, what water was left in it, or if it was a dry rivulet. The rocks were stained red with the crimson blood of the prophets of Baal. If one man and God turned the tide and pointed the way back home. Oh, thank God. Oh, I tell you, I feel so moved in my spirit tonight. You can't be any tighter than I am. I've pushed my heart out every night in this revival. I give you my best, but there's something eating on the inside. America needs a revival. Pine Bluff needs a revival. This church needs a revival. You need a revival. We need the fire of God. We need it. We need it. We need it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not showing off.
Yeah, I feel what I feel.
Hallelujah. All right. Elijah gets up from slaying the prophets of Baal.
turned. The Bible said in Elijah, I don't want nobody else going out now to the conclusion of this sermon. I pray God give you paralysis of the legs if you do. Amen. That's kidney disease the rest of your life. Amen. That's right. Come on, Walker family. Stay with me tonight. Hallelujah. Is this all right? I'm almost through. But maybe God isn't tonight. My God, God wants to do something tonight. All right. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. That the rain stop thee not. That the rain stop thee not. A cloud, the size of a man's hand. Hallelujah. But to God, we can see it tonight. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. A cloud, the size of a man's hand. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds, and there was a great rain. Hallelujah. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. My God, I can see the people scurrying for cover, running down the mountainside. And the rain began to come in torrents, in sheets. Ahab had previously leaped into his chariot. He had lashed the flanks of those kingly steeds, and it spewed the gravel of the witchery. It ricocheted off the stumps of the trees, down the hollows, and down the dry creek beds, as Ahab come winging down that mountain, Mount Carmel. You see, it was about 25 miles, amen, to Jezreel, and he had a long way to go, and the rain was a-coming. 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 Hallelujah. I can see it now. In my mind's eye, I can see Ahab with that fierce look on his face, as fast as he could go coming down the mountainside. With reckless abandon, he's going as fast as he can go. The horses are stretching out as fast as they can run. They were thoroughbreds, kingly steeds, trained, hard as steel. The muscles were bulging, as with each galloping step and stride, they were pulling perhaps 5 to 10 feet. There they were going. Oh, I can see it now, coming down the mountain. But the next verse tells me something. The Bible said, and the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I can see it now. Ahab's coming down the mountain, and the rain's coming. He cast a furtive glance over his shoulder. The rain was coming. But what does he see? Out of the black of the rain, and out of the gloom of the sheets of rain, strides the figure of a man. Ahab is looking upon Elijah, his shaggy locks in the wind,
as Elijah come closer. He's gaining on Ahab. I can see Elijah with the hand of the Lord on him as he pulls abreast and aside Ahab. They're running stride for stride, neck by neck, the horses and Ahab and Elijah. But the Bible says the hand of the Lord was on Elijah.
That was the holy, hairy man of the desert, the despised prophet of God, the man that had been blacklisted by the palace, the man that had been scorned and ridiculed, scoffed and leered, mimicked and poked fun of. Oh, he's running now with the power of God all over him and the hand of the Lord in his life. My God, he's got it now. The Bible said he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel, at least 20 miles, 1,820 feet up to the top of Mount Carmel, down to the plains of Jezreel, on to Jezreel itself, 20 miles. Can you see a farmer grubbing in the hard earth as he sees the rain coming, and he sees out on the highway a race like he had never seen before? And Jacob calls to Rachel, "Rachel, come here. Mama, do you see what I see? Well, that's Elijah. I can tell by the hoary hair. Look at him. He's running in front of the chariot. All the way. 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 Let's stand and praise the Lord.